You're listening to the Effortless Life Podcast, episode 41. Do you know what causes the problems and prevents the results that most people want? Inside of today's episode, I'm letting you listen in on a recorded conversation that I had recently with two of my friends, Natalie Viglione and Diane McDermott, to show you how to overcome the most common thing that every entrepreneur faces so that it no longer prevents you from doing the important work that you're here to do. That's coming up next, so stay tuned.
Globally ranked among the top shows in business and education, we're changing the way entrepreneurs work by changing the way they think about work. If you're ready to run your business like a real CEO, instead of your business running you, you're in the right place. You don't have to work as hard as you think you do to create the influence, income, and impact you deserve. It's time for a new way to do business. This is the Effortless Life Podcast. Here's your host, Courtney Elmer.
Before we jump in today, I've got to give a shout out to our featured listener of the week, Jennifer Rose Lee, who says, I love Courtney's energy. She is the kind of woman you would want to spend all the time you can with. And with her podcast, Now You Can. These episodes are packed with amazing content and helpful tips that you can apply right now to your life and business. Thank you, Jennifer. You know, I read every single review that listeners like you leave on the show, and I smile every time I read them, knowing that you guys are getting such value out of what we talk here each week. And I don't know if you knew this, but when you leave us a 5-star review, it lets Apple know to share the show with more people like you, and we really appreciate that. So, Jennifer, would you do me a huge favor and DM us your mailing address over on Instagram at CourtneyElmer_ so that my team can put a little gift in the mail to you as our way of saying thank you for being one of our loyal listeners. And remember, for you listening, when you leave us a 5-star review, I might just feature you as our next listener of the week and give you a shout out right here on the show. Now, today's episode is pretty special because it is not the typical interview that you normally hear on the show. It is actually a conversation that I had over the summer with two good friends of mine that we just happened to record. And I listened to it recently and thought, I need to share this with you because with all that is going on in our world right now, I have a feeling you're going to find it very valuable. Because in this conversation, we talk about one of the most common challenges that most entrepreneurs face, heck, that each and every single person faces to one extent or another, because this is simply something that's part of the human experience. In fact, I bet you've experienced it already this week, maybe even today. And if you're wondering what on earth I'm talking about, well, I'm going to tell you. I'm talking about fear. Fear is something that we all experience. Yet, ironically, fear is also the worst advisor in your life. It can make you do all sorts of crazy things, or it can cause you to do nothing at all. Fear both causes the majority of the problems you experience in your life and prevents you from getting the results you want. What's tricky, though, is that fear doesn't always show up as fear. Most of the time, it shows up like a mask, like procrastination or overthinking, overworking, feeling stressed, feeling overwhelmed. It shows up often as perfectionism. We see this a lot in the entrepreneurial world, and this is something I've struggled with myself. But the root of perfectionism is fear. It might show up in ways that sound really logical, but prevents you from doing things that you want to do. For example, saying you're not good with technology can actually be a way that fear masks itself and prevents you from taking the necessary action to get the result you want. Lots of people blame the economy. That sounds logical, right? The current market is not right. The timing is not right. The economy isn't good. But again, this is just fear masked as logic, as a logical excuse for why you can't take the action you want to take. And speaking of excuses, fear really shows up in your excuses. Not having enough time, not having enough money, not having enough experience. Oh, I can't launch this week because there's an election. Oh, I can't launch that month because it's the holidays. oh, I can't grow as much as I want to this year because, well, you know, COVID. Even excuses like what's going on with your family or at work. My kids are sick. I'm sick. My boss won't let me do X, Y, or Z. And when you dig underneath the surface of a lot of this, when you really dig, a lot of this might be happening, yes. But when you choose to use it as an excuse for why you haven't been able to get the result you want, it's usually linked to fear. And isn't it interesting how fear is both the cause of the problems that you experience and the thing that prevents the results you want? Yet have you ever stopped to consider what fear is, really? Fear is simply an emotional state that you feel in the present moment based on a belief you hold about an unwanted future. That's all it is. In other words, fear is a feeling you feel because of a belief you believe. I asked a really interesting question inside of our students' community recently, and I said, if you had committed to 2 to 3xing your revenue by the end of this year, what would be the scariest thing that you'd do differently in your business? Like, what actions would you take? What would you finally let go of doing? And I asked them to share all of their scary things with me, and it prompted a ton of dialogue. All kinds of fears were popping up for them. Everything from hiring outside help with the kids because of COVID to the fear of outsourcing and delegating and letting tasks go, worrying about things not getting done right, the fear of leaving the stability of a corporate job, fear of marketing, fear of getting more visible. And what was so interesting to me about this was that as a coach, I am trained to see things differently than most. So I see things differently than most. And what I saw here was not just what my students thought were the scary things. I saw these things they were listing as the excuses or reasons for avoiding a deeper fear. Let me say that again, because it is so important. And if you are tired of the time that it takes you to grow your business and you feel like you just wish you knew how to reach more of your goals, and if you're listening to my voice right now, you really need to get this. The excuses and the reasons you often give for not taking the action you need to take is actually a protection mechanism protecting you from deeper, more universal fears. So for example, let's take a look at the fear of marketing and getting more visible. The real fear here is not what people think of you. The real fear is fear of rejection or abandonment. Fear of getting COVID is not the fear of getting sick. It's the fear of loss, fear of losing your health, losing your loved ones, the greater risk, the greater fear. Fear of outsourcing and delegating and asking for help is not a fear that things won't get done right. It could be fear of failure or fear of letting go or fear of feeling out of control. These deeper fears are universal to us all. But let me ask you something. What if the fastest way to grow your business and reach more of your goals was simply to remove the fear or fears that are currently stopping you from doing so? And what if removing the fear was as simple as identifying what it is and where it stems from, identifying that deeper fear and knowing how to overcome that? Because imagine what would become possible for you in your business and in your life if fear didn't get in the way of you and your dreams. How much more energy would you feel, and how much more joy would you experience if you weren't giving your power away to fear? If you could take that power back and use it to do the important work you've been created for and put on this earth to do. Fear will always be there. Anyone who tries to tell you otherwise is lying to themselves and to you. But fear can feel less fearful. You can reach a point where fear no longer controls you, where it no longer has power over you. And inside of today's conversation with Natalie and Diane, you're going to get a glimpse at what that looks and feels like. Let's roll that tape. You guys, I'm so excited to have you here today and to dive into this conversation because, my goodness, like, what a topic that drives so much of our behavior, right? Fear. And it can affect our life in so many ways. And I think that's one of the things a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, these habits, these fear-based thinking patterns, these thought patterns that we develop drive our behavior and cause a lot of stress and tension in our lives that we feel externally. When really it's an inner dialogue going on and how we are either reacting or responding to this emotion of fear that we feel inside. And so I would love to just start with having you guys share a time in your life that, you know, you really felt an overwhelming sense of fear. And what specifically was it that was causing you to feel that fear?
Diane?
Do you want me to go first? I'll go first. Okay. So the most vivid example, that it's been a few years since this experience happened, but I am joyfully divorced, as I explain it, and I'm happily single currently. The very first date that I went on after my divorce, I wouldn't say it was panic attack, but it was close. The level of fear and anxiety was very overwhelming for me. And the stories that my mind was telling me was, what if he's like your ex-husband? What if he's a total jerk? And what if you get hurt again? And what are you doing? And all the stories that were holding me back from showing up for a new experience in my life. And the experience of choosing intentionally to move through and beyond those internal mental stories was really powerful for me because it showed me that I could do it. And it showed me that I could choose to show up and that I could choose to take care of myself. And the experience of the date with this guy was awful. I mean, it was just awful. It's like the guy could not carry a conversation. And it's like, I can carry a conversation, but I don't want to carry it by myself. I want someone that's going to be able to engage, debate with me, you know, challenge me. Communication is such a core value of mine. And this guy just didn't have it. It was helpful that it was really clear very quickly that, like, we don't need to ever meet again. Like, you're a nice guy. But the intense fear leading up to it was the anticipatory fear. It was all leading up to it. And once I was there, I mean, for the first 5 minutes, I didn't trust my hands were shaking to even pick up the cup of coffee that I'd ordered. But then I settled in. And once I was physically present and in the actual experience, I was fine. But it proved to me that there are men in the world that are not my ex-husband and that I can choose to show up. And I can choose to make my own decisions that are for my benefit. But the fear was incredibly intense that very first time. And it got easier. So that very first time actually helped me date other men and helped me open myself up to other possibilities that I previously had been unwilling to consider.
So good. I like what you said about the anticipatory fear too, because I think we can all relate to that, where it's like, you know, it's always worse in our mind than the actual experience of whatever the thing is, you know, whether it's stepping on a stage or whether it's hosting your first webinar, whether it's going on a date with someone, like whatever the experience is, it's always, we make it out to be more than it actually is when it comes down to just taking the action and doing it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, what about you?
So when I started my business, you know, solo, left a big, fat, huge paycheck, and it was only going up and up and up and up. I mean, I probably, if I would have stayed in the next 5 years, I would have hit the $500,000 mark. Like, serious, you know, to that, my greed, it was really placating to my greed side of me, which I have, and I've always had to battle, honestly. And when we left New York City a couple of years ago, it's like a little over 2.5 years ago at this point, and I had to reestablish myself and my business in a new region. I didn't understand the region. I didn't strategize about it very much. We just knew we had to leave. And what I actually found myself doing in my business is starting to ask the wrong people for help, which pushed me back in my business for, I lost about a year of my life to trying to placate to other people's whims. I've lost a lot of time trying to bring people into my business to help them more than me. And then also you know, really wanting to push a square peg in a round hole, which was me, into the new region that I was living in, which was not only was it not good for my business model at all, it was also, you know, my personality in coming into this mix also wasn't mixing with the normal established rules of how things worked in the region. And therefore I was like, none of this makes sense. And after I lost a year of that, I realized I was also pushing myself to the back of the business, trying to bring in, you know, Mark, my husband, is, well, let me just sell you, then I can do that. I just kept disappearing from my business. And that was a huge wake up call, because literally 2020 is just the wake up call of the freaking century. So, God, I mean, I can't.
That's an understatement.
Right. But I mean, January 1st, I was like, you know, F this. I'm done with putting myself. So, y'alls that are helping me, that aren't helping me, get out of my face. You got to go. Sorry, but I'm done with you. I can't move.
I'm glad I made the cut. Totally good.
You know, I mean, you know, there's just, wow. I was just like, God, wipe the cobwebs off your face and wake up to the fact that you're afraid to push yourself to the top of that, you know, chain again, because you don't want to be the Natalie show. And it's like, you are. That it is. So just be it and just embrace the beauty of being that person and embrace the beauty of what it means to be in that kind of position and just freaking do it. That was my wake up call. And that was a huge, I didn't realize I was working through massive fear-based underlying emotions until I really was honest with myself.
Yeah. Wow. And what you just said about, you know, pushing those feelings away, like just, and you were kind of pushing yourself to the back of your business too. Isn't it interesting how when we feel that fear, and our culture tells us just fight the fear and do it anyway, or just work through it, or, you know, just that's what developing courage is all about, or getting rid of fear is like just taking action and being fearful. When we try to push those feelings of fear away and when we don't acknowledge them, it actually makes it harder to work through the fear. It just keeps following us around. And
yeah, it amplifies it.
It does. It does. And I feel that so intensely in my life too. And even just this week, I had kind of just a funky week. Like, I had reopened the doors to my digital program. It didn't go as well as I had expected it to. Just, it brought up a lot of emotion in me that I hadn't realized was just kind of lying there dormant. And so instead of turning away from it, I turned toward it. And this is a skill that, like, so few people, they don't even know to do, right? It's deeply uncomfortable. It brings up all these feelings of inadequacy, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, we could get so stuck in the story, just like we were saying, you know, about the stories we tell ourselves that really hold us back. However, on the flip side of that, whenever we don't take a look at that and shine a light, you know, on those fears and why they're happening and what that's causing us to feel about ourselves, that we're not going to ever be able to progress through it. We're going to really spend that energy just trying to stuff it down and avoid it. You know, does that make sense?
More energy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Honestly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things people don't realize either is, you know, stress and tension in our lives show up on an external level, but it's often because of the internal dialogue that we have going on, which is usually driven by fear on some level. It's part of the human experience. And I think that in trying to push it away, we actually, like we said, we create more problems. It's to deny our sense of humanness in a way to try to avoid fear or to push it away or to, you know, not acknowledge that exists or to try to get to a point where we're fearless. Like, there's really no such thing. We will always have it. And I love what you said about just learning how to shift out of it, you know, to let it move through you, to move through it. What are some tangible ways, you know, to move from more of that reactionary, you know, just to react to it, right? Which creates more fear, which creates this vicious cycle of just spinning our wheels, burning our energy, trying to avoid the fear versus responding to it and inviting, you know, that logical part of us back into the conversation to navigate through the emotion.
Well, I love, Courtney, one of the questions that you had shared during your retreat weekend, shifting, you know, the quality of the questions that we ask ourselves, not what can't I do, what can I do in this moment? And even if that's something super small, like what can I do? What am I capable of doing right now? And even just opening up to the possibility of that question and what that might mean. And then it might be something super small for you in that moment. And that's okay. And allowing yourself to just take whatever feels like the next right step for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So good. And shifting from that negative to the positive, it's such a shift in energy. And that's such a concrete way to do that, just to ask yourself, you know, these questions. In fact, I think, you know, one of the thoughts that, and I'll talk about this a little bit later in the episode, so you guys make sure you're listening for this, because I'm going to put together a list of questions that you can go and download and take away, that anytime you're feeling that fear, you can ask yourself. And you'll notice that some of them will apply in certain situations more than they will in others. But to have, you know, at least concrete questions that you can kind of invite that logical side back, you know, into the conversation.
Yeah. And, you know, from the standpoint of actual tools that you can go to at any time, day or night, it doesn't matter. So I've been a yoga and meditation enthusiast for almost 15, 17 years, basically since my divorce when I was in my early 20s, it really drove me to, okay, well, you need to understand who you are because you're a disaster right now. And so
look at that.
Yeah, look at that. But, you know, in recent years, I think there's two big things that people can understand. Like I did this huge masterclass on, you know, the power of your mind. First of all, understand the power of your mind. Understand your power, period. And know what we're capable of. So, you know, technology is moving in a place to try to like recreate the things that we already do, but through technology. We are powerful, energetic, unbelievable beings. We need to full on realize that, because that only enhances our consciousness at the end of the day. But then as a tool to dig into that deeper is, I've been doing, there's tons of huge studies, peer-reviewed and independent, from the HeartMath Institute. And I've been doing, you know, this heart and brain coherence addition into my meditations, because honestly, I was getting to a point where I was like, my meditations are not giving me what I desire right now. I'm not digging. There's something missing in it. And honestly, this was it. Because when we can tap into our intelligence and our intuition, which is only available through our heart space, because the heart is a brain. That's proven, like scientifically. So you can't say it's woo-woo anymore. It's fact. And so if we can tap into that intelligence and to that power, all we need to do then is see the fear, recognize it, take it in and say, all right, I need to guide myself to the other side. And using that intelligence is so powerful, because it's not tapped into ego. It's not tapped into programming. It's not tapped into fear at all. It's literally completely separated. So this, you know, our brain is about safety. This is about power and intelligence and intuition. So,
but isn't that what sometimes scares us the most, is our power? It's our light.
Oh, I think.
Our darkness, like fear of success.
Sure. Especially women in business, right? I mean, I know you see that all the time, right, Courtney? In your work.
Totally. So much. I think it's hard for us to acknowledge our potential, or to even know what our potential is, because we get so many messages coming from our culture and leaders, and I'm putting that in air quotes, you know, leaders in business who say, you know, do this, do that to be successful. And so we get bogged down in doing, as opposed to, Natalie, like you're talking about, just tapping into the intuition and intelligence that we already have. And that is where you really do cultivate true courage. Because, and then fear, it becomes a non-issue. Yes, we'll feel it. Yes, it's going to be there. Yeah, it's going to come up. And then you can start to look at it more as like a lesson or a guidepost in your journey, as not this overwhelming thing that's going to come and like take you out of the race, you know, and just put you on the sidelines, but this thing that's going to guide you, like, oh, I'm feeling fear. Okay, what is that telling me? What is that teaching me? And being brave enough to ask those questions, because it gets more to the heart of it. Yes. Yeah.
And you teach, Courtney, about, you know, who am I being? How am I being in the world instead of what am I doing? You know, and we talk about busy. We're all, you teach, we're all so freaking addicted to busy. Like, our calendars are a form of our worthiness. Like, how backwards is that? But that's what our culture has taught us in the United States. And it's so backwards, you know? And I love one of my notes that I wrote from your retreat weekend was, my worthiness is far greater than my calendar or something like that, something along those lines. But like, you know, we're taught to tie our worthiness to how many things, how many boxes are we checking?
Yeah.
How full is our calendar? And it's just ridiculous that that's where we put our sense of worthiness as humans.
Yeah.
So when I work with clients, you know, a big piece of that is learning how to show up, because you have to show up for your own content. So, you know, I help with content marketing piece of the business, and showing up for that is half the battle. And often what I see and what I've seen, to your point, Diane, like when I see people fail in getting to where they want to go, it is every single time at the end of, like, if you just keep looping it back and you start looking for threads in, you know, the commonalities of why can't I get here? That you can't get here because if you can't show up for yourself, there is no way in hell that you can show up for anybody else in a way that you want to in your life. And that goes, you know, for your partner, you know, any romantic situations, or, you know, it's just, again, and you're just filling your calendar with all this crap. And it's like, if none of that is moving you towards your goal, take out, just, it's got to go, because, you know, show up for yourself first and then build the rest in. And I see that so often.
But we're afraid to sit with ourselves. Like, we're all in currently, as we're recording this, we're all currently in forced quarantine. And like, everyone's losing their minds because it's like, sit with myself and my thoughts and my fear. And
for every day, for how many hours?
And we're all losing it.
And it's very true. And it's like, we're so used to having like the busyness and the distractions and the go, go, go and the do, do, do to distract us from feeling anything in our lives, that now that we're forced to slow down and take a look and pay attention, it does. It brings all of this up. And Natalie, what you were saying about, you know, you have to be able to show up in your life, to show up for yourself first so that you can show up in all of your other roles and in all of the other things you want to do. Like, that is where it starts. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And when we can just take our power back by saying, you know, I need to take care of and focus and listen to myself and my needs instead of drowning out that inner voice, it's amazing how much more free you feel, you know, just in the course of your everyday life. It doesn't take these big, huge shifts, and, you know, it's a journey and it does happen over time. And it's a lot of little things every day consistently.
And sometimes, but it's big steps. That's how I ended up in NOLA. Like,
yeah,
I want
taking big leaps, right? You know, sometimes it's like little stepping stones and okay, I'm gonna hop over here. And then
other times it's, yeah, just get on a plane and go to a city you've never been to. Mm-hmm. I'm
with that. Right. Yeah. Right. But it's the little steps that bring us to those bigger steps.
It is. No. Yeah. And my journey, certainly through divorce, was crucial in getting me to the point where I was willing to show up and say yes for no other reason than I internally wanted to go. And I wasn't going to wait. I wasn't willing to wait for another opportunity to show up. I was willing to say yes to something that I internally was deeply drawn to.
Yeah.
And it's not being selfish. That is different. Selfishness is different than showing up for yourself and creating your own experience every day consciously. But it's also, you know, don't wait for anyone else to come save you because no one's coming.
Right. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I was like, you know, and for those listeners listening that, you know, I might immediately jump to, but if I do that and if I say yes to myself, that's selfish. Good. Like, I get it. I've been there, you know, but
especially women, we have serious problems with this.
Yes. But to me, I like to shift that. And this is for myself. So, you know, take this. If it works for you, great. And it's to think of it the opposite way. It's actually the least selfish for me to take care of myself so that I can show up in the way that the other people in my life need me.
Yeah.
It's more selfish to ignore that and to ignore that voice that says rest, or, you know, go get that workout in, or go have lunch or dinner with that girlfriend of yours because you just need to get out and have time away from the kids or, you know, work or whatever it is. And saying yes to ourselves in those little ways allows us to live a more integrated, aligned, vibrant, free life. And that is what the people around us need. So why wouldn't we do that?
Okay. That's totally it. Yeah. And the interconnectivity between everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the core and we have to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
Period.
100%. Well, look, the final question that I'll ask you both, and I'd love to hear your answer. I ask this to every guest that comes on the show, and it is, what is your definition of success? First thing that pops into your mind. I didn't prep you on this one.
I should know the answer to this, Courtney. So I actually, one of the biggest takeaways that I've gotten from being connected with you is that my personal mission statement. So, which is, and I resisted it. Like I was sitting there, I'm like, I'm not ready to do this. I don't want to do it. So my mission, my personal comprehensive, not related to either of my businesses, it's just my whole life. My mission is to communicate, engage, and inspire joyful integration with humanity. And that is my definition of success. So if what I'm doing in any given day, hour, moment is aligned with that, then that's a success to me.
Beautiful. I love that. I have chills and goosebumps.
And so for me, I have fully realized my purpose is to empower and bring a softness to the world through clarity. And this comes through using, you know, gifts that I've been given that I have never fully embraced. And true success for me is when I fully have embraced my power to use clairvoyance, to use, you know, innate gifts that I have that are far beyond anything that I could have ever even imagined. But this has happened since I was a little girl. And I'm only now realizing the power in this. And it's a gift that I have, a superpower I have. I need to recognize that. And so I'm stepping into my power. Therefore, I'm creating my success as I go in this purpose.
I love that. And that's exactly why I asked you, because it's so amazing to hear the different definitions of success.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're so dead on, Natalie, too. And you say that it only you can define it. So if you haven't defined what success looks and feels like for you and how you will know when you achieve that success, then walk away from this episode with that question in your mind. You know, what does success look like for me? You guys, what an awesome conversation. Thanks for being here and for just talking this through. And you know what I love too is just kind of to have such intelligent, incredible women who are each doing, making such a big difference in the world. And for you to come on here and just share so openly, you know, those times in your life where you have felt fear, because it's universal to us all. We have all felt that. And as you both talked about so well and spoke about so well, it's about how we learn to navigate through it. And it often just means, you know, starting with tuning in. So thanks you guys for being here and for sharing that with us today. How powerful was that? I hope you listened intentionally and picked up the valuable gold nuggets that Natalie and Diane shared about their own journeys to the other side of fear. So now I want you to ask yourself this question. Imagine you had 10 times the confidence and that overcoming fear wasn't even a question. What's the scariest thing you would do differently in your business? When you can identify what's holding you back from the greater impact and the success that you deserve, you can choose to take your power back. And I have 5 more questions for you that you can ask yourself right now to help you identify the deeper root fear that you're struggling with specifically so that you can overcome it faster and more effectively and experience the true freedom that's waiting for you on the other side. Because as a coach, my job is to guide you on your journey to your potential so you can build a business of your dreams without the roadblocks and the obstacles that would otherwise hold you back. So if you want to know what these 5 questions are that you can start asking yourself right now to identify and dismantle fear, I'll email them to you. All you have to do is go to CourtneyElmer.com/conquer fear and enter your info so I know where to send them. Because the truth is, you have absolutely nothing to fear. Nothing. But there's a difference between knowing this as a concept and living your life this way. So head to CourtneyElmer.com/conquerfear and let me know where to send these questions so you can get present to the fears you're currently feeling and discover the steps you can take right now to conquer them for good. And remember, if you've ever got a question about something that you hear on an episode that you would like to ask me, I'm a real person. I hang out on Instagram at CourtneyElmer_, where you can find me and send me a DM. I always love hearing from listeners like you, so I hope to see your name pop up in my DMs there soon. And coming up next week on the show, we're talking about the two things that successful entrepreneurs do every day and why you need to make sure you're doing these two things daily as well so that you can experience more income, have more influence, and create a greater impact with the work you're doing. So make sure you take a screenshot of you listening right now, share it to your Instagram stories, and join me right back here next week. I'll see you then. And in the meantime, go live your effortless life. Have you ever wondered the difference between one of the millions of unheard podcasts on Apple right now and the ones that have tens of thousands of subscribers who tune in every week? Oh, and buy everything that person offers? The difference is what I teach you inside of my signature podcasting program, the Effortless Podcasting Formula. You can't get in right now because doors aren't open. But when you head to CourtneyElmer.com/effortlesspodcasting, you can find out how to get backdoor access and learn step by step the stuff you can't Google about podcasting, like how to create, launch, and leverage your message into a profitable show that positions you as a credible leader in your industry, and ultimately that creates more traffic and sales for your business. So if you want to be part of my next focus group, head to CourtneyElmer.com/effortlesspodcasting right now, where you can find out all the details and figure out if hosting a podcast of your own is right for you and your business. As you might have heard me mention inside this episode, if you want to join me for our next live workshop where I'm going to show you how to avoid the biggest mistakes that cause most podcasts to fail within the first 12 months and literally walk you through the exact framework that we teach our students to launch their shows in the top 100 and convert more of their listeners to clients, just go to theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop. That's theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop.